Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. And of course, I'm here with Brian, the producer of our lovely little show.
Very lovely. How are you? Very little.
Well, you know. I got about two emails.
That's it?
For saying, yeah, you guys should do a live show.
And who? One from you, one from me?
No. Oh, come on. Who else would it be? Dean and Elaine.
Duh. Yeah. Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Oh, don't you dare.
What?
They're very dedicated.
I didn't say they weren't.
Well, to say Tweedledum, that means one of them gets to be dumb. That's not nice.
I'll let them decide.
Oh, jeez. Well, in any event, it looks like for now we will forego the live show thing, especially since, you know, I don't know one minute to the next if I'll be working, if so where, how long
a commute, when.
And when. You know, everything is so up in the air that, you know, it's hard enough just for us to sit down every 2 weeks and do this. I can't see us being locked in, you know. So we will table that for a later time.
Much later.
Yes. So, did I tell you about my Burlington County Prison Museum experience?
Did you tell me? A little.
Okay.
You mostly wrote me.
Okay. Well, I went down there a couple Sundays ago, probably like not this past Sunday, the Sunday before.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I went down. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon on a Sunday. I figured, let me go down and get some pictures of this place. So I went in, I spoke, I met with Ron. This will all be in the book, by the way. I've already written up the chapter. That's already done. And he said, here's a little self-tour guide. I paid it's only $4, and you take yourself on the tour. So it's only $4. So it's not
kind of like Eastern State.
Yeah, if you just want to pay something and just walk around, it's interesting. They did a nice job setting up. You can even go in some of the cells. Some of the parts they do have set up, I'll warn you, with like speakers behind the walls or doors, playing like, you know, to make it sound like it's still an active prison, like you hear a jailer walking with his keys and stuff. So bear that. I had already scoped all that out, so bear that in mind. It wasn't like that was part of the EVP, but I did get a pretty amazing EVP while there.
You did?
I did. Now, this will be in the book, but let me tell you, this is better than the book because you people can actually hear this. I'd gone pretty much through all the prison. I had made it. There's this covered kind of bridge connective piece. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm not an engineer, just daughter of one. And it connects the prison to what is the warden's house.
Okay.
And they did this so this way the warden could just get up and leave for work by not even having to touch the outside world. He could walk right out the door of his house through this little covered walkway and into the prison.
Okay.
And I went over that walkway. And I went into the warden's house, looked around there, and I came back across that walkway, and it opens up to a landing where if you went up the steps in front of you, there were more jail cells, or you could go down the steps to another level of jail cells and then down again to almost like the basement where you would come out from the basement to the yard.
Okay.
Sorry. So just as I entered that landing, I smelled cigarette smoke. And I remembered when it aired on the show Ghost Hunters, how Jason and Grant smelled cigarette smoke, and they were tracking it, but it was in the women's section of the prison. Mm-hmm. So this is at the total opposite end of that from the women's section. And my instincts kicked in. I'm like, oh my God, this is what they smelled on Ghost Hunters, so I'm just going to turn the digital recorder on. So I turned it on. I asked if someone could tell me their name. And didn't hear anything, but I could smell the smoke. And I was even kind of like joking, thinking, oh, I could go for a cigarette, you know, like, move closer,
And so, a drink.
You know, oh, well. And, but it was like, it was right there with me. And then I figured, all right, just to be safe, let me just be the investigator. And I started to look up the stairs. There was nobody poking around in any of the other rooms. I made sure I was the only one that came from the warden's house over that little covered walkway. Nobody was over there. And I looked down the stairs, and there was nobody downstairs. So I was basically by my lonesome at that given point in time. And I thought, all right, maybe the smoke is coming up from somewhere. Maybe somebody's outside of the building and having a cigarette and it's just trailing in. Because I thought, being it's a, you know, a museum and a public place, they can't allow cigarette smoking within the building. And then I remembered the guy, Ron, that I met when I first got there, who was working the, he was like the docent on duty. I remembered him mentioning that he smokes. So I thought, I wonder if he maybe stepped out to have a cigarette and then that's what I'm smelling. So I started to walk down the stairs. Nothing. I don't smell it anymore. I go down all the way to the bottom. I go all the way out into the yard and look around. There's nobody out there having any cigarettes. And I'm like, okay. And there was a family out there at that point. A mother, father, a teenage daughter, like an 11-year-old boy and a little tiny girl, like a 2 or 3-year-old girl. And they were over by the mom up there. And those were the only other... I think I walked all the way back to the place of stairs. Didn't smell it at all. I came back then. I went down the other side. What a nice mask. I said, okay. And, you know, and so, you know, he said, I thought I saw you come down there before. And I was like, not me. And he goes, oh, no, never mind. The lady had brown hair. I'm like, nope, wasn't me. So, you know, I spent some more time talking with him. And I said, you know, is it okay if I take some pictures of the outside of the building? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's not a problem. So I basically said goodbye, went outside, did my pictures. I walked down the end of the street to get on the other end of the street, on Grand, I believe it is, to take pictures of the warden's house. And as I cross back over and I'm coming closer, I can see a sign in the window, the front window of the warden's house. And I'm like, oh, what does that say? I walk up to it and it says, no smoking within 25 feet of any entrance of this building. You know, both the whole prison thing. And I'm like, well, you know, if someone had to go outside of the building, 25 feet away from the building and had a cigarette, I mean, what kind of a cowboy killer drag would they be exhaling that could come all the way up to the third floor where I was through closed windows, you know? So basically, I think I dispelled any shot of someone being there having it. So listen to this EVP. A lot of people who I've played it for tell me they hear about three different voices kind of talking over one another. The one word... Well, I'll listen to it first, and then I'll tell you the one word that I definitely heard when I first played it.
Can I hear you? Tell me your name, that'd be great. Yeah,
quality's not too good.
Yeah, why did it not come over very well?
I don't know. It might have been the audio software. We'll put a link up with it.
That sucks, because it sounds perfect for everybody I emailed it to.
Well, what can I say? It's a handheld.
What happened on your end?
It was fine on the laptop. You heard it.
Yeah, why does it sound like crap now? And it was only in one channel. It was in the left channel.
Stupid little iPack HP product.
Oh, man. Well, the one word that you can definitely hear is crimes. And I don't know if it's the one voice is saying, his name, I committed no crimes, but I can't discern the name because it sounds like someone, it's kind of muffled, and that could be there was another voice talking. A couple people said they heard the word curly, which I don't hear at all. But you know what's neat? After you hear crimes, you hear him as if he's blowing out the smoke. It is wild. So, yeah, I'll definitely put that up on the site. So we do have two teams that are booked to go. One team's going on May 10th, and the other team is going on May 24th down to this museum, this Burlington County Prison Museum. John and Mark Bilancic are heading up both of those Brian and me to come down at least to have dinner and see them, which I would love to. Doubt I'm going to have that time to go down there, but...
Well, let's see if this sounds better.
It's got a... It like it picked up some kind of seawater echo to it.
I don't know.
How the heck you manage that?
Crap files you send me.
They were it's beautiful. I mean, I never altered it in Audacity or anything. I just turned it into a WAV file so it would be emailable.
Don't know.
Was that did you take that from the file that I embedded into the document, or did you
No.
take it from the actual the WAV thing that I
I actually, the
attached?
first one I took was from the one you attached, then I even took the one you originally sent. Well, maybe it's because I had to enhance the audio because it was kind of soft.
Oh. So it is his fault.
No, it's not. You and your crappy digital recorder.
It's a Sony, man. That thing was $168 when I bought it.
How many years ago?
Five.
Yeah.
Five.
That
It was
laptop would be a
2003.
dinosaur if it was one.
Anyway.
Click the link on the website.
Yeah, I'll have to put a link up so you can all hear it, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, so yeah, I'm glad they're going down there. You got, and I can tell you, if that happened at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, broad daylight, I can't imagine the fun they're going to have when they're there late at night.
Well, you never know, though.
Why?
Well, think about Fort Mifflin. A lot of things happen during the day when it's just a regular tourist
Really?
walking around. You know, they might see a person, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't know I had any reenactors here." And they're like, "We don't." But, you know, we'll go there at night, and we may not catch anything at all. So you never know.
Yeah. I think you're gonna have fun.
I didn't say they wouldn't have fun.
Yeah. So, did you see the good news?
Which one this time?
We actually have a summer road trip.
Wow.
Woohoo! And I have done an extraordinary amount of planning because I actually got the moon to not only be full this night, it's going to have a lunar eclipse as well. Ooh, baby. So, that is going to be August 16th. We are going up to the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse. You will have dinner at BG's Boathouse, and then you will get to investigate from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. at the haunted Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse. Now, is it haunted where you can give it a thumbs up stamp of approval? That remains to be seen. That's why we're going to go investigate it. Up to now, Jeremy D'Entremont, who I've been working with, he is the co-chair of the Lighthouse, whatever. It's a long ass name, let me tell you, but it's on our website. He's the co-chair, and he's writing a book on the lighthouses of New England. And he's the one that's going to be at our dinner, and he will be with us when we investigate. He's gone there with a couple other teams. One of them. Oh, I forget the guy and the. It's a guy and a girl there from Massachusetts. They know Jeff Belanger, like from his neck of the woods, and they have a radio show. In fact, I was on their show a couple years ago. So they went there because the girl is psychic. So psychically, she was picking up some stuff, and you know. And Jeremy was saying, yeah, he would like to have another team of investigators come up, and so we're going to go up on the 16th of August and investigate that night. And if you're listening to the show, in case you haven't checked our website by the time this uploads, you will have to be clued into the fact that the hotel rate has come down. Okay? I was originally got the rate of $179.95 for Saturday night and $152.95 for Sunday night. And now it's going to be $159.95 for each night. So that's
Yes.
really cool. And we have a block of 10 rooms. Of course, I'm taking one, so. And Brian's taken one, so that leaves 8 rooms. And actually, when I called them back today because they left me a message. Because I originally went right through the hotel itself, but I had already filled out an RFP online on Sunday. And by the time the girl got the thing
Right,
yesterday,
right.
she called me yesterday. She said, "Oh, I thought we could get you a better rate." I'm like, "Well, if you can, knock yourself out." And she called me back today. She said, "You know, you have to call the manager at the hotel back, but this is the rate he should now give you." And it came down to 159 for both
Not
nights, you
bad.
know. So I called him, and by the time I got him on the phone, he said, "I've already changed it in the system." And he said, "You've already had 2 rooms booked against your block."
Wow.
So I better make my reservation.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, so I think that's good. Now, transportation and your hotel accommodations, all of that is on your own.
And all your other food.
And all your other food. It's just the $50 covers your dinner, tax, and tip, and the donation to the Lighthouse Foundation, you know, so we can get on. It's on a Coast Guard base. There's a fort plus the lighthouse, so we can Jeremy's going to have an assistant, so the assistant can take half the group to the fort, and Jeremy can take the other half to the lighthouse, and then at a halfway mark, we'll switch teams. So everybody will have ample time to spread out. The group is maxing out at 15 people. Brian and I are two, so that leaves 13 spots.
Well, actually, well, it'll be more than that because two rooms booked. Is that how many people? Just two?
Well, I'm only going by the headcount of
Ah,
who
okay.
has registered so far. And by the way, only one person so far followed instructions and requested fish and chips for dinner. So I don't know what your problem is, people, if you cannot follow instructions, but it says right on there, let me know your choice of entree. And I even put a little thing that allows you to fill it in so you can do that. So you can tell me, I want fish and chips, I want the seafood platter, I want the grilled chicken salad, you know. So, if you have already registered and you realize, uh-oh, I'm one of those duh, forgot to tell her, please email me so it saved me some time from tracking you down and beating you out of you as to what you want for dinner. Otherwise, you'll just end up with whatever I decide you're going to eat that night.
Whatever looks good.
Yeah, no, you know, because seriously, I have to, in order to get this reservation with this place, you know, it meant I had to swear to this woman that so many days before she will have the absolute head count. And all the entree counts. Everything will be turned into her because this is the height of their busy season. They're a very tiny little restaurant, and they don't take reservations for the summer because, especially for a Saturday night, because they are so slammed. So she said, "I can't guarantee you sitting outside." I'm like, "I don't want to sit outside." She goes, "We could put you in the one room, but you'd be up in the, against the wall, but you there's all windows." She said, "You could still." She goes, "Basically, you have a view of the water from anywhere in the restaurant."
Just behind a
But
window.
yeah, but we would be behind a window. I'm like, "No big deal." I said, "All I know is here's the deal. We need to get in, eat, and get out. We can't be standing online for 2 hours while we you know, because that's the other thing. The Coast Guard was a little miffed at the last team that went up there. Apparently, this team went up and showed up late. And carried on so, and carried on to where they went past the time that they were supposed to be there. And you know, the people, the Coast Guard people, yeah, they're working there, but still, they're like, okay, are you people leaving now?
Right.
First, you didn't show up on time. And we're talking military people who tend to be a little punctual, anal retentive, you know? So,
Even ex-military.
Oh, you know? Don't get me started. That was a very, you know me and how I like to be fashionably late. Like it's just not cool to show up
You?
on time. You know, you just don't do
Wow,
that.
shocker there.
Not for parties and social functions. It's just a faux pas. You show up fashionably late unless you are in Germany. Germans have a big thing about you. If they tell you 8 p.m., it's not 7:59. It's not 8:01. 8 p.m. You show up. Okay, got it.
I'm
But here we
German.
are. Well, yeah. So.
You're late.
I'm fashionably late. But, you know, I mean, obviously, there are things in life you need to be on time for, like a flight, you know,
A wedding.
a wedding,
Especially yours.
work.
Eh.
You got some leeway there. Church. Church is a big one. You know, because then everybody gets to point and say, "Oh, there's a sinner. Oh my God."
Duh.
But anyway, the point being is, I promised Jeremy up one side and down the other that the NJGHS is highly professional and highly punctual, and we will definitely, you know, and actually, he's going to meet us in the parking lot of the Comfort Inn. We're going to follow him over. We can try and carpool it up so we don't take 7 million parking spots. Follow him over to the restaurant and eat. Follow him over to the lighthouse. And he said everything is like 3 minutes apart. It's so close. So that'll be good. And that was our main. That's why I was trying to explain to this woman at the restaurant, I need a reservation. I have like 17 people that night for dinner. I need to know we can get in, eat, and get out on time. So when she heard it was Jeremy who recommended the place and she knew him and she said, all right. So she said, well, I said, and here's my thought. If I just pick three entrees and give them only three choices, when we get there, you just take drink orders.
Right.
You already know what entrees to bring out. We're done, you know? So
And bring the dessert menu early.
they don't have one.
Oh.
Yep. Now, this from a restaurant that basically everything on their menu will clog your arteries. To like no living, and it's all batter fried, batter fried, batter fried. I'm like, gee, can I get it batter fried? You think? And that's why I was like going through the whole menu, and I'm like, I gotta find something for people who are maybe have dietary constraints and can't eat something deep fried, you know?
Or some of us who don't want seafood.
Yeah, so I found the grilled plain chicken breast on, you know, chicken tenders. on salad, so I figured, all right, I can't believe you don't eat seafood. How the hell could you have been in the Navy and not like seafood?
But
Why, you won't eat what you were tooting around in there? Or
no,
on?
I've never liked seafood. I mean,
Really?
tuna and flounder is about the only things I'll eat.
Like tuna out of a can
Yeah, like
tuna?
tuna out of a canned tuna. And flounder, it's got to be all, prepared the right way.
Like how fried?
No, like
Broiled?
or grilled or something like that. But other than crabs and shrimp and blah,
You're kidding. Oh, that's the good stuff.
lobster,
Lobster?
blah.
Oh my God. I am a lobster fiend. And luckily it rubbed off on my kids, so the three of us can just sit there. Every time they have a lobster fest, we're like, let's go,
Wow, you all can eat. I'm shocked.
Oh, I wish I could take them with me on this, but I can't take them on the investigation, and I don't know about leaving them in a hotel room till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
For 6, 7 hours.
Yeah, in another state. I mean, like when I went down to do that Eastern State thing with the French TV crew, they were about a half hour from me, but they were still in New Jersey, and I wasn't gone for 6 hours. I was gone for about maybe 4, maybe three and a half,
Yeah, they were
four.
in Jersey, you were in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right across the water there. But I mean, I thought about it. I said I could take them up, but I can't bring them on the investigation, and then I don't know if I want to leave them in the room all that time. And
What kind of
I
trouble
know
can
me,
they get
because
into?
it's not that I know me. I'll just be in mommy mode, and I won't be able to investigate because I'll be constantly thinking I should go outside and turn my cell phone on and call and check the kids. I should check and see if they've called me, and I'll be panicking, and so I won't be able to unplug and really
So they're
focus.
not going.
Sorry, guys. Love you, but oh well.
Wow.
Wow. So anyway, check out we have the link on the homepage of our website, njghs.net. You'll see the little lighthouse picture. You click on that, and it'll take you to the page where you can find all the details. There's a PayPal link. You can sign up. Like I said, it's only $50 per person. If you call the hotel, the Comfort Inn in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, the phone number's there, the link to their site, everything is on that Portsmouth page. Just make sure you request the NJGHS rate of the $159.95, or you're going to get stuck paying, it's $200 a night normally. So it is tourist season. It's going to be busy up there, but at least it should be nice too. That night with the, New England, it's
And
a
you
lot
don't have to
nicer.
do both nights.
You don't have to. I mean, if you are a glutton for punishment, go for it.
I
I
mean,
think it's insane.
technically, you don't have to do any nights. You
What,
could
just
actually
drive
drive up
up
there Saturday, eat, do the investigation, and
and
drive
go
home.
home?
It's.
Oh, gee, thanks. You're really helping my marketing ploy here.
Yeah, but how many people are
Jesus
going to drive and
Christ.
all the way up there and all the way back?
Well, that's why I said,
You aren't
I
going to
said, can
find
I
that.
lock in a rate for Sunday night too? Because the reality is, if we stop investigating at 3 a.m., by the time we get back to the hotel, it's 3:15. You brush your teeth, get your makeup off, get your jammies on, get into bed. It's 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning.
For you.
Realistically, are you going to want to get up at like
10:30.
10? Let's say, yeah, you're someone like Brian who can sleep till 10:30 and be out the door by 11 because you have to check out. No, I think their checkout is by 12.
Okay.
But all right, so that gives you an extra hour. But you're going to be so beat after you've driven 5.5 hours on Saturday, investigated till 3 o'clock in the morning, and you finally make it to bed by 4. I mean, do you really want to get up 5 hours later and then drive 5.5 hours again to come home? So my thinking was, take your time. They have breakfast is included in that rate. So go downstairs in your grungies, get some breakfast, go back up to bed, sleep some more, go out later. Maybe those of us who stay over, we could then drive the 15, 20 minutes to Kittery, Maine, and get some real lobster. Because I can't go to Maine without my Maine lobster. I love it. And so we could sneak over there and do like a lobster fest thing and then make the schlep back to Jersey. What do you think? Huh?
Why would I want to go to Maine for lobster?
It's only 15 freaking minutes away, and that is like Lobster State, USA.
Yeah.
You ever go to rentmothernature.com? That's where they get the traps that you get to rent if you give it as a gift to somebody.
So I'm still waiting for a reason why I should go all the way to Maine to
all the
eat a
way, all
lobster.
15 freaking minutes. I'm sure they have some carnivorous, delectable things on their
Well, I'm
menu.
sure Portsmouth, New Hampshire has the same thing.
But getting back to your question about the desserts, so as I went through this whole menu to figure out what entrees to pick,
Yes.
note I noticed, and I'm like, where the hell are the desserts? Like, fried ice cream, something to give people a choice of? Nada. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. You've got every artery clogging
sugared
fried
lard on
thing.
A plate?
Something, right? So, you know what? I think what I might have to do is bake some brownies and, like, keep a stash so when we get to the Coast Guard base and we start doing our investigating, you know, at some point during the night if people are hungry, I'll have, like, some Poland Spring bottles and maybe some brownies so we have some sustenance, you know.
Dollar a brownie.
Hell yeah.
How hungry are you?
chocolate brownies.
Oh, you got to eat one in front of them, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then just take a nice big chunk of water. Oh, the bottle of water is $3.
Well, I can always pick that up at Costco. But oh, and each room at the hotel comes with a mini fridge and a coffee pot and a microwave. So realistically, I can bring some, you know, back me up grub. So mm-hmm. in case, you know, I don't want to be spending a fortune to go out to eat or stand on a long line somewhere.
Oh, I don't spend a fortune to go out to eat, but I'll drive up to Maine and get a lobster fest.
If you're going to be all the way up there, what's 15 more minutes to get the real deal lobster? And you know what? It's cheaper up there because that's all they do is lobster.
I'm sure Dina Elaine will go.
I drove 9.5 hours once from Canada to get to Maine. I even saw two moose in two separate locations. That's how determined I was to get a freaking Maine lobster. And to have my son have his first lobster. By the time we got there, they were almost closing up. We're like, no, we drove all this way. So we each got a double order. So we each had like four lobsters. It just pinged out.
Moving on.
Yes. So make sure you register for our Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse Dinner and Investigation on Saturday, August 16th in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Now back to you, Ed. Now, anyway, get this. Remember I was telling you how negative April is for the month?
Yes.
Okay, now I do stand corrected. I said I thought it was the most negative. It is not. November is the most negative month of the year because that's where primarily the sign of Scorpio takes place. And that's a very negative sign. Sorry, people, but, you know, for the most part, you Scorpios out there, and you know who you are, the stinger is not to get even, it is to annihilate. So don't ever piss off a Scorpio because they are not out to get even with you. They will annihilate you. That's the way they are. If you're their friend, even still, I can tell you my buddy Cheryl, Scorpio, the one time I got a compliment out of her, I was thanking Jesus that I was sitting down because the friggin' I would have hit my head so hard when I fell from the shock. For the most part, they just fling insults like, nobody's business. They have a very sharp eagle eye. That's their totem, is the eagle. So you can't bullshit a bullshitter. Yeah, that's a Scorpio. You can't put anything over on them, and they love to play detective, but they have that stinger, and they tend to be quite caustic and quite, anyway, quite on the negative side. Anyway, so that's the most negative month. Now, here's another reason I found out why April is a negative month. Remember I told you the Titanic sunk, taxes are due. Hitler's birthday. Oh, God help you. If any of you people are born on Hitler's birthday, and if you're about to marry anyone and you find out that's their birth, don't marry them. I can tell you, it is the worst thing that can happen. If you are going to give birth in April and they say, hey, we want to do it on whatever, I think it's April 19th is his birthday, 19th or 20th, it's right on the cusp. He was a cusp baby of Taurus and... No, Aries and Taurus. He's on the cusp of Aries and Taurus. Now, Taurus is a very lovable, plodding, slow, methodical, but loyal sign. Very earthy, very, it's, you know. And, you know, if you're someone who has any kind of Mercury rulership, believe me, Taurus would just drive you out of your tree because they are that plodding. You'd be like, come on, hurry up, you know. And Aries is a fire sign, and Aries is the baby of the zodiac. So enough about me. Let's talk about me. La la la, look at my hands, look at my toes. Aries are very self-absorbed, very like, oh, something shiny, and that's it. They are like the child that never grows up, totally self-absorbed, totally like, I want new, I want this, I want shiny, I want better, I want la da 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 da. So this guy was born on the cusp of that, okay? Very, very bad, trust me. So if you're about to have a baby that's due in April, and it's going to be on April 19th or 20th, and better yet, you know, a lot of people right now are scheduling these, like, freaking Purdue oven stuffer roasters, like, timer popped up, let's have a baby. And they schedule their C-sections. So don't do it on Hitler's birthday is what I'm saying. Just do it after or way before. Actually, a little before would be better because then it would be a Taurus. Because unless you want to have a kid that's going to constantly be having head injuries and in the ER, that's what Aries children do. If you look at a grown Aries male, he will always have a scar somewhere by his eyebrows because they lead with their head. They are the ram. Even the little ram child leads with the head and boom, smacks into everything. So anyway, getting back to why this is a negative month. If you could only see his face.
I'm sorry, people. We just can't shut her up.
Priceless. I live for this every 2 weeks, just for that look. Anyway, I was driving the other day. Actually,
did you hit anybody?
No, it was a slow day. I was driving yesterday. It was Tuesday, April 8th. And I heard on the radio a Nirvana song. And I thought, oh, okay, that's good. I like this one because Johnny Peso has played this one. And afterwards, they said, yeah, it's the 14th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain. And I'm like, see? He died in April. April is a negative month.
A lot of people die in April.
Yeah, but not many people go upstairs, load the shotgun, stick it under their chin, and pull the trigger.
I bet you they do. You just don't see the news about it.
So, yeah, Kurt. Nice work. If you were going to off yourself, you picked a pretty good time.
At least you didn't miss.
No, not at all. You know, I remember when my friend called me, Cheryl, she was so upset. She's crying on the phone. I thought her father died because he had just been in the hospital for a heart attack. And then she tells me, Kurt Cobain's dead. I'm like, oh, good God. Here I'm thinking like something's wrong with her son, her father. Anyway, so moving on. Let's do the cemetery hunts. Now, get this. We have some cemetery hunts already squared away here.
All right.
All righty. Now, just remember, cemetery hunts will be on Saturday nights this year. You meet and sign in at 9 p.m. at whatever the designated spot is for that particular hunt. You sign in at 9 o'clock. The protocols for investigating will be reviewed. Any of the newbies will be squared away to go with the team leader for training. And then you investigate till 10:30 p.m. You must be a member in order to participate, and you cannot pay for membership and hunt that very night. You have to do it ahead of time. The link for PayPal is on our homepage. It's only $20 lifetime membership fee, or, oh, here's a concept, send in a freaking parashare. Ta-da! All right, so new members have to complete 2 cemetery hunts in order to be considered for a private investigative team. Cancellations of these dates are possible given inclement weather conditions. Please keep an eye on the site for last-minute updates, or better still, join our Yahoo NGGHS group to have the info blasted into your email box. Now, we already have Dina, team leader, has taken on the Pequest Union Cemetery for May 31st. Gregory and Sherry will be taking a team to the Bayview Cemetery in Leonardo. That's tentative right now. They're waiting for, the final go-ahead, but it looks good. June 14th, Gregory and Sherry will take a team to the Mount Olivet in Red Bank. That's definite. On June 21st, I'll be taking a team of people if you want to meet in the Presbyterian Churchyard. It's right on, Mountain Ave there. The church itself faces East Broad Street, but on the... If you were looking at it from East Broad, to the left of it is where their cemetery is, or their graveyard, what have you, the churchyard. And that's in Westfield. Dina will be doing the Union Cemetery in Hackettstown on June 28th. And July 12th, Gregory and Sherry will be taking a team to the Rose Hill in Mattawan. That's definite. Hopefully, I will be taking a team on July 19th to the Connecticut Farms in Union. I have to see about locking in permission for that. And Dina's going to take a team to the Washington Cemetery in Washington. That's Warren County. Gregory and Sherry have the next 3 dates, August 2nd, 9th, and 16th, covered. The 2nd will be Princeton Cemetery in Princeton, the Bayview Cemetery in Leonardo again, and Mount Olivet in Red Bank. And that's, I'm sorry, the Bayview is still tentative, but the other two, the Mount Olivet on the 16th is definite. And then Gregory and Sherry will then go back to Rose Hill on August 30th, and that's definite. And the last one, September 6th, Dina will be taking a team, but I still have down cemetery of your choice, Dina, so she's still going to figure out. She's got a few that she's looking into to get permission on. So we've got that covered.
Cool.
And this just in. I have the Samuel Mudhome investigation on April 19th at 7:30 p.m. till 12 a.m. This is Robin Van Pelt. She is from the Maryland Paranormal, well, formerly of the Maryland Paranormal Investigators Coalition. I should correct that. She is now of United States GhostChasers.com. Okay. And Robin will be taking a team to investigate the Dr. Samuel Mudhome on October 19th from 7:30 to 12 a.m. It's only $25 per person. She has 8 spots left. And it is the anniversary of Booth killing Lincoln on April 15th. Booth hid at Dr. Mudd's place and had his leg set after he broke it, hence the expression of your name will be Mudd. Which, because that poor doctor, he really took a beating after. They're like, you set the leg of the guy who killed the president, how could you? So after that, he was pretty much ruined, and every time you wanted to say your name will be Mud, that's what it meant. You were pretty much going to have your reputation ruined. So that, again, is going to be... And you can check all that info out if you want to register for Robin Van Pelt's event here on April 19th. You can go to... Let's see. Her email address is UnitedStatesGhostChasers@yahoo.com or check out her website at ghostschasers.com. Okay? We'll put that on the website as well, our website. And now let's move along to meeting announcements. My goodness. May 7th, we have Central Jersey Division. That's headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Coming up even sooner, the April 15th Northwest Division meeting. That's headed up by team leader Dina Chirico in the Community Center at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. This month's topic, how mirrors factor in the paranormal. And the Northeast Division is April 24th. That's headed up by team leader Laura Lindemann in the Recreation Building located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public to attend. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting. Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Welcome back. It's time for Parashare.
God. Yeah, I know. I told her in a commercial break, you know, shut the hell up.
I have no voice left.
Anyway. Oh, man. Do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net.
And Laura will make an hour show of it.
Hell no. For each parashare you submit and we read on the show.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. Let me cover my face.
No, no. You'll be seen.
Yeah, here we go.
One credit. You may use your credits.
You're gurgling.
Membership at the New Jersey.
They can't hear you.
Ghost Hunter Society.
What? They can't hear you.
Oh my god. Only one credit is necessary. However, you may cash in 10 credits for a natal chart that's a $75 value. And you know the drill, and it's on the website, so I'm not going to waste what's left of my voice explaining this or splaining it. So we do have a parashare this week.
Wow.
I know. Now, this says, hello, Laura. Here is my parashare. Several weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk playing in a poker tournament like I normally do. My desk sits next to a window, and about 3 feet from the window, there is a shelf that sits below the window. I had a little water fountain on. Oh, we had a little water fountain on it, on the shelf. We just moved in here not too long ago. It is my father-in-law's house. He passed away back in May. Anyway, while I was playing poker, I was putting the icing on some cupcakes that I made. Well, around 2:30 a.m. or so, the fountain that was on that shelf fell and hit my leg. That freaked me out. The more I thought about it that night, the more it freaked me out. Not even thinking of the water that was all over. Typical guy. Oh, that's all right. My wife will get it, you know. I was lost on the fact that a cement fountain filled with rocks flew 3 feet out of nowhere. Since we've moved in here, it's usually around that time that I hear a bunch of noises and see things out of the corner of my eye. Okay, there it is, Laura. Hope all is well for you. Jason Cummins, NJGHS member. Well, thank you, Jason, and that is pretty wild that that thing... So I guess he's making the point that it was on a shelf 3 feet away and it fell to hit him in the leg. So it wasn't like he was sitting right next to it and bumped it with the computer chair and it fell. So that is pretty cool. Now, this could be the ghost of his deceased father-in-law kind of letting him know. Be. You know, get out of my house now. And this other one, this was a story that Dina Tirico found on the internet and she emailed it to me. It says, man believes his dead wife is contacting him via cell phone. Oh, this is good. It was 5 years ago when Frank Jones's wife and son died unexpectedly. His son, Stephen, died of a brain tumor at an early 32. Now that's sad. 3 months later, his wife, Sadie, died from a heart attack at the age of 69. Sadie was a cell phone addict. She always had a mobile with her, Jones told the Blackpool Gazette. So of course they buried Sadie with her cell phone. Now, Jones believes Sadie is getting service 6 feet under, and she has been sending him text messages with words only Sadie would say. Of course, there is no return number on the messages or missed calls, leading Jones to believe the communications are from his deceased wife. Creepy? Yes. But here's where things get creepier. The house Jones lives in has a history of hauntings from a being called the Thornton Thing. The entity drove a family from the house in 1971, and after the Jones family suffered hauntings as well, they had the house exorcised. It wasn't until the untimely deaths of his wife and son did Jones start experiencing messages from the beyond. The obvious question we can't help asking, what kind of service does one get up there? She's clearly getting a lot of dropped calls. Yeah, that's... But, you know, you think about it. Strange things do happen. Oh, wait, do you see my book? I did an interview today, and you talk about a creepy, creepy phone thing that happened? It'll be in the book. So, we'll take a quick break. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary,
located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhuman.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandhemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Last week's Haunted Trivia asked the question, what is the name of the band that did the song Twilight Zone in 1982? And the band's name was Golden Earring. They were from the Netherlands, and they had the hit, in case you didn't guess it, was Radar Love in 1974, which was actually the focus of a recent episode of the TV show Reaper. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
It was very good.
I have not missed a show.
And actually, the girl who played the blonde on that episode of Reaper, the one who was in love with her, you know, the both of them, the two ghosts, with demons, whatever they were, driving the cars.
Yes.
That girl used to play Harmony, who was the secretary that was hired to work for Angel when he had his, when they had the new big and improved business, you know, on Angel, the show. Well, anyway. She was a recovering vampire in that show. I'm not recovering to where she would drink pig's blood and not hurt any more humans.
Oh,
but
that's it.
Yeah, so that same blonde was in the show Reaper playing this demon. Anyway, excuse me. So we actually had a winner. Jennifer Adonizio got this correct. She'll be receiving the Llewellyn Sun Sign 2008 book. Congrats, Jennifer. And actually today I got an email from Joe Leone, our buddy in Florida, who did not only have the correct answer, unfortunately Jennifer beat him to it so he didn't get a prize. Not only did he have the right answer, but kudos to you, Joe, because he said the song that you were alluding to from 1974 that was the biggest hit for this band was Radar Love, so he was right. Now, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of challenging. Mary, Addie, and Maddie. Three women who shared the same last name, Fargo. Yes, as in Wells Fargo, the stagecoach and banking family. All three women were married to Enoch J. Fargo. Mary, his first wife, and he bought the Fargo mansion in 1888. They added the third-floor ballroom, and the home was the social central with weddings, funerals, and coming-out balls. Mary and her daughter died 2 years later of a mysterious illness. The other daughter was sent to live with relatives. Enoch then married Addie Hoyt. Addie became ill, and her cousin Maddie moved in to nurse Addie back to health. It worked. Addie got better. Sorry, but Enoch was enjoying his late night visits to Maddie's room and wanted to marry her. So he was not too happy to see Addie regain her health. One night, Addie died quite suddenly. It was noted on the death certificate that her health just took a drastic turn for the worse, and she died. Now Maddie and Enoch get married. And Maddie was an animal lover, and to please his bride, Enoch built a bear pit with twisting underground cave, and placed inside of it Sally, a brown bear, and Jack, a black bear. The bears were able to escape on Halloween night in 1913 when two pranksters lowered a ladder into the pit. Eventually, the bears were caught and took up residence in the Milwaukee Zoo. Years later, while on his deathbed, the doctor, who was also a friend and confidant of Enoch's, confessed to the fact that he lied on the death certificate. Addie had actually died from a gunshot wound to her head while she was asleep in bed. What was the name of this doctor? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the book, The Parapsychology Revolution. This is by Robert Schock, PhD, and Logan Janowiak. And this is the Concise Anthology of Paranormal and Psychical Research. It retails for $16.95. And I should note, the Fargo Mansion nowadays is a bed and breakfast. And if you go to stay there, you might witness the female presence on the upstairs landing, or if you stay in Addie Hoyt's room. And actually, the ghosts of the bears, Sally and Jack, have been spotted on the property. So if you want, of course, this may be a drop-dead hint to getting the answer. I don't know how much history they have on their website. I didn't really look at it. But their website is fargomansion.com. So if you want to book a nice little getaway in the middle of Wisconsin, go for it, you know. But we're looking for the name of the doctor who lied on the death certificate for Addie Hoyt Fargo. How's that, Bri?
Wow.
Good story, huh?
Well, you know, they could always go back and check, couldn't they?
What?
Check the body. If they exhume it, wouldn't they be able to tell if it was a gunshot wound to the head?
Yeah, because they kept it very hush-hush, apparently. When the doctor was called there in the middle of the night and Enoch, you know, kind of said, I need you to sign off on this, they didn't even do a viewing or lay the body in state. Right. It was just like, 1, 2, 3, wrap the body up. Oh, she died such a bad death. And he used the excuse that since her health took such a turn for the worse, she was probably very contagious. So they wanted to bury the body as quickly as possible and not have anybody exposed to it. And so they labeled it that way. Well, we're doing the community a service. We got rid of the body real quickly. And that way they got rid of it before anybody could see the gunshot to the head.
Was it buried or was it cremated?
Buried.
See, if he were smart, he would have said, oh, we got to cremate it. Yeah. Then there would have absolutely been no proof.
Yeah. I don't know. Did they have crematoriums back then?
Well, if not a real crematorium, just, you know, burn the body.
What's that smell, Enoch?
fried bride.
Southern fried bride. No. Okay, so we are going to do our, let's see. Oh, now you know how I'm a grammar geek, right?
Duh.
Okay. If you are a fellow grammar geek, you need to check out www.jeffdeck.com/teal/index.html. This is a 28-year-old who has started out, I think, up and around Massachusetts area and has made his way down and around, and he's out on the West Coast and kind of making his way all over the United States correcting typos on signs. And as he goes, he takes it and he blogs it. He takes a picture of the sign before and then a picture of the sign after he has corrected it. And then that night he uploads the little adventure onto his blog. So people have been able to track him as he's making his way across the country and back correcting signs. So our hat's off to him. And you have to read his stuff. He is a very good writer. That was his major in college, was creative writing.
So how is he paying for all this?
I don't know. He said, you know, I have to do this while I'm 28 because once I hit 30, I have to, you know, salvage what's left of what could have been my career, he said. So, yeah, he's doing it. But
loser.
No, and he's got a couple losers with him. He's got a girl and I think one or two other guys that are part of the team, and they go around.
Losers.
Correcting all these signs, and I think it's great. You know? Anyway, so check out jeffdeck.com/teal. You'll see the whole group.
Or just go back and start listening to us again.
And teal stands for typo elimination something league. I forget a lot. I don't know what the A was for. But anyway, it's pretty cool. So don't forget to check out our website if you go to njghs.net/paraintensive.html. That's our Paranormal Intensive 2008 coming to Hackettstown on September 20th. Each workshop is $25 per person. Register for the ones you want. And, of course, the presenters will be there with their books and stuff on sale to get autographs. And then that night, we have dinner and spirit circle at the Haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse. That's in Hackettstown with the famous psychic, Jane Doherty. That's from 7 to 10. That event is $60 per person because it includes a buffet dinner plus the spirit circle. So, stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our Yahoo groups. Get the latest and greatest info blasted into your email inbox. Okay? And let's say a wonderful week to you all. Happy haunting. Have a great weekend.
Who are you kissing up to?
It's not like they listen anyway, man. I don't care. Thanks to Brian.
Well, not after a 37-minute first part.
Oh, come on. Thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician, producer of The Deadline, and timekeeper, scorekeeper.
Hail to the king.
Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Chirico, and Laura Lindemann. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.